Well, thank you for sharing that, Pastor Becky, and a great message. And we were kind of talking about on the phone earlier in the week some things in light of current circumstances and situations we find our world and our country to be in. And I tried really hard this week. I tried really hard to sit at my desk and write that sermon that was going to be the next in the series of the messages we've had calling I Am. And every time I sat down to write that sermon, this message came back to me. I couldn't get away from it. I tried. I have watched the news unfold. I have watched not all the things, but I've tried to keep up with the news going on in our country around us after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. I've watched the unrest. I've watched the peaceful demonstrations. I've seen what happens when peaceful demonstrations turn into riots and violence. And I've tried to stay really quiet about it on Facebook. Here's my thing about Facebook. I've seen so many arguments about this back and forth on social media, and I thought, if this is going to be addressed, it needs to be addressed with our church family, from your pastor. Because what happens on social media so many times, especially in a case like this, is it devolves into one of those playground arguments we used to have as kids out at recess when it ended up, well, my dad can beat up your dad. That's what social media arguments amount to. Here's the thing. There's nothing fruitful that ever comes out of those conversations. But what can happen is we can look at some scripture and figure out some things and talk about some things practically that help us understand how to react to situations like that. So what God led me to do this week was revamp a sermon that I wrote years and years ago. And it's called Choices. It's simply called Choices, and the scripture is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus is speaking, and he says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps, and the bridegroom was a long time in coming. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But when they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Father, I simply ask for your help and your strength to share this word the way you would have me to today. May you receive honor and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Indiana Jones, along with his father and other members of his search party, are looking for the Holy Grail, that thing we know as the cup of Jesus. In the process of this search, Indiana's father has been shot. His life hangs in the balance. The only hope for his survival is for Indy to find the grail and give him a drink from it. You see, the legend is that the cup of Christ, the Holy Grail, has healing and even life-giving power. And Indiana Jones stands in the cave looking at the many cups that are there. Some are made of gold and silver and other precious metals. Only one of them is the real grail. He has to choose. His father's life depends on the choice he makes. Suddenly he zeroes in on one of the cups and he mumbles this phrase. He says, "That's the cup of a carpenter." He makes his choice. He picks up what is not one of the largest or the most beautiful cups in that display, but the most simple. And he takes that cup and he dips it in the water in the fountain that is nearby, and he drinks from it because he has to make sure that it is the right cup. If it's the right cup, his father will live, but anyone who drinks from the wrong cup will die. Indiana drinks. And the knight standing guard in that movie says these words, "You have chosen wisely. You have chosen wisely." Well, if you've seen that movie, you know that Indiana Jones takes that cup and he goes back to where his father is and he dips it once again in water and gives his father a drink from that cup, and he is healed and he lives. I want us to understand something today. Life is all about choices. Life is all about choices. We make choices every day. God's word teaches us about choices. And so many times we fall into the trap of focusing all of our energy on right and wrong choices. Right and wrong choices are important. But let's just be honest about it, okay? Most of us sitting in this room, we know what's right and wrong. We know the difference between right and wrong. Things like adultery and stealing, lying, murder, gossip, greed, racism, hatred, and pride. We know those things are wrong and sinful. But I believe it's important for Christians to be able to look beyond what is simply right and wrong. You see, our spiritual relationships and experiences should go much deeper than that. I want us to think about what the knight told Indiana Jones. You've chosen wisely. Choices must be more than just right and wrong. Choices must be made on what is wise, what is good, what is better, and what's best. You see, Jesus makes this important distinction in the parable that we just read. In verse 2, he says that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What made the difference? Well, in a minute, we're going to look at the difference between the two. But first, I want us to notice the similarities. I want us to know what all of these 10 virgins have in common. They were all virgins. They were all pure. They were all undefiled, which qualified them to be a member of the wedding party. They all took their lamps with them. You see, in Jesus' day, the Jewish custom was that your lamp served as basically your invitation to the wedding. You having a lamp was like showing your invitation when you got to the door. It's kind of like an RSVP. If you didn't have one, you didn't go in because you weren't invited. They all went to meet the bridegroom. They all fell asleep because the bridegroom delayed his coming. He didn't come as soon as they thought he would. So they got tired. They got drowsy. They fell asleep. They all heard the midnight cry. Here comes the bridegroom, come out to meet him. They all woke up and they all trimmed their lamps. Those are the similarities. Those are the things that all 10 of them have in common. But what makes them different? What makes the wise ones wise and the foolish ones foolish? Verse 3. And then verse 8 tells us that the foolish virgins had only the oil that was in their lamps when they went out to meet the bridegroom. They did not take any extra oil with them. So then they asked the 5 wise virgins to share their extra oil, but they refused because they might not have enough for themselves if they shared with someone else. Were they being greedy? No. They were being wise. They had the wisdom to know that spiritual readiness cannot be shared or borrowed. Even John Wesley said, no man has more than enough holiness for himself. No man has more than enough holiness for himself. So what made the difference between the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins? A choice. The 5 wise chose to take extra oil with them. The 5 foolish chose not to. So with this background in mind, I want us to look at 3 things, 3 truths and lessons that we need to learn about choices. The first one's this. Our choices should be made based on God's word, not man's opinion. Our choices should be made based on the word of God, not man's opinion. I said earlier that life is all about choices. We make choices every day. A lot of choices seem to be made based on what other people are saying or doing or what other people think. A lot of choices seem to be made based on what other people are taking part in. But see, so in order to not come across as uncaring or out of touch or irrelevant, we make choices based on what other people are doing. But we really need to be able to stop and ask ourselves the question, what does Scripture say about the choice that is put in front of me? What does the Bible say about what is right and wrong, what's good and better, what's better and best? What would the wise choice based on Scripture be for the situation that I find myself facing right now? It may not make you the most popular, but when it comes to eternity, I'm not worried about being popular. It may not make you a part of the in crowd, but I'm not worried about being a part of the in crowd. I'm worried about being a part of the crowd that goes into the wedding banquet instead of the one that's left out. I'm much more interested in making choices that please God rather than pleasing people. And I find some interesting examples about this in the Bible. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, Peter and John are being questioned by the religious leaders. Peter and John have been told to stop speaking, to stop teaching, to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John had a response that I think we should take note of. They told those questioning them, they told them to judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. Just a little bit later. In Acts chapter 5, once again, they're being questioned about their teaching, and they're instructed to stop. But once again, they respond saying, we must obey God rather than men. Church, listen to me this morning. We're going to be faced with all kinds of choices, all kinds of decisions all through our lives. We need to be at a point in life where I can make my choices and my decisions based on what God says in this book. Not based on what my best friends or my classmates or schoolmates or coworkers or even other family members are doing. If I can't find it in here, I don't need to do it. The popular cultural opinion tells us that lying and cheating and sexual immorality are okay. The current cultural opinion tells me that greed and pride and gossip and slander are no big deal. We're told that abortion is just another form of health care. We're told that same-sex marriage is just another form of alternative lifestyle that should be acceptable no matter what. We need now more than ever to stand on the scriptural truth regarding these things and not just go along to get along with the things that we know are sinful. Man's opinions will lead us astray, but God's word never will. God's word never will. So our choices should be made based on God's word, not the opinions of man. The President of the United States doesn't make my choices for me. I make them. The governor of our state doesn't make my choices for me. We make choices. And that's the next thing I want us to think about. Choices are individual in nature. Each and every one of us, we all make our own choices. We're all responsible for the choices we make. Now, that's a message that a lot of people, especially some of the younger generation, don't like to hear today. We're all responsible for the choices we make. I can't blame my choices on someone else. Look back at our scripture. All 10 virgins had the same opportunity. All 10 of the people in this story had the same opportunity. They were all invited to the same event. But some of them made wise choices and some of them made foolish choices. And because of their own choices, they were either allowed into the wedding banquet or they were left out. You want to know what today's society would say? Well, those five wise virgins were just so selfish because they didn't care enough about the other people to give whatever they had and let them in. I'm sorry. Maybe it sounds like a harsh message, but I'm responsible for the choices I make. And in just a moment, we're going to look at some consequences, but have a few other things to do before we get there. Choices are individual in nature. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. This is the story where Joshua is challenging the Israelites to choose for themselves. You hear that? Choose for yourselves this day which God you will serve, whether you're going to serve the God of your ancestors and forefathers or whether you're going to serve the one true and living God of Israel. And then he says this, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What's Joshua saying? Look, he said, I want you to serve the one true and living God, but if you choose to go serve the false gods, I'm not joining in. If I'm the only one who stands up for what is right, then I will be the only one who stands up for what is right. That's the choice I have to make. And that's the choice each and every one of us has to make. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, I love this story from the Old Testament. The prophet Elijah is on Mount Carmel in a face-off with King Ahab and the prophets of Baal. There's an argument about whose God is strongest and whose God is most powerful. My God can beat up your God kind of thing. Well, let's see. So they put it to the test. But at one point during that test, here's what Elijah looked all the prophets of Baal in the face and looked King Ahab in the face, and he said this. How long will you halt? How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. But if Baal, then serve him. Make a choice. People used to talk about us riding the fence. People used to talk about people riding the fence. And then one of my old preachers looked at me one time and he said, you just always got to remember who owns the fence. Fence riding is not going to get you where you need to go. We've got to make a choice. We can't have one arm in the world holding on to the world with one hand and trying to hold on to Jesus with the other. It's not going to work. Make a choice. We all have choices to make, and we're all going to be held accountable for those choices. I can't blame my choices on somebody else. And that brings us to the last truth that I want us to think about this morning. Choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. There are short-term consequences. There are long-term consequences. And sometimes, depending on the choice and the activity, there are even eternal consequences. All we have to do, I mentioned it earlier at the beginning of this message, all we have to do is watch the news. Listen to the news on the radio. Follow the news on the internet. Or read it in the newspaper to see the importance of the choices that we make. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, police officers used unnecessary and unlawful force to detain someone. The force they used resulted in the death of that individual. So many people are now experiencing the consequences of that choice. All four of those police officers involved in that situation are now in jail. They've lost their jobs. One of the police officers' wife has left him and filed for divorce. A man is dead. That man's family will never recover from that. They'll never bring him back. Why? Because of a choice somebody made. Now, we can sit and argue, which isn't the point of this message. We can sit and argue about whether this was justified or that was justified or something else was justified. The point is, somebody's dead, and so many other people are affected by the consequences of a choice that somebody made. in Grand Forks, North Dakota. There's a widow and a 10-month-old baby left behind because someone chose to shoot a police officer, resulting in his death. So many people are now suffering the consequences of that one choice. We can criticize. We can point blame. We can try to point fingers. You say, well, you don't know the pressure they're under. Yes, I do. I've worn the badge and the uniform and the gun. I know what it is. I know what it is to be in those situations where you wonder what the outcome is going to be. But I also know you have to be very, very careful about the choices you make in any situation or circumstance. In St. Louis, Missouri, there's a family and former co-workers grieving over the death of a 77-year-old retired police captain who lost his life trying to defend the business of a friend that was being looted and vandalized and broken into and people trying to steal from that business. Why? Because all over the country, people are choosing. They are choosing to riot and loot and steal, damage and destroy property, and injure and kill other people. Those are all choices that individual makes. They're wrong choices. They're foolish choices. And we're going to continue to suffer the consequences of these choices for the unforeseeable future. I hope you can hear. I hope in all this you can hear my heart. We have to be so careful. We have to be so careful about the choices we make, the things we choose to take part in. That's why I said earlier it's so important to look beyond simply what's right and wrong. We need to determine whether our choices are wise or foolish. I've not always made good choices. Quite frankly, there are times that I probably shouldn't even be standing before you. There are times I've done things that were just pretty crazy. I've driven way too fast, trying to see how fast my car would go, and all it would take is one wrong move of the steering wheel or an animal or something else out in front of me, and I'd be gone. I'm blessed that didn't happen. I'm blessed to be here today. We're all blessed to be here today. We've all made choices in the past that we're not proud of. There's grace and forgiveness for those choices. But see, the consequences don't go away. So we have to determine whether our choices are not only right or wrong, but whether they're wise or foolish. Because see, verse 10 in this chapter is very important. Verse 10 in this chapter is very important. It says the door was shut. You see what happened when those five foolish virgins were out trying to buy what they chose not to take with them in the first place? The bridegroom came back and they missed out on everything. You realize what this parable is actually about? This parable is actually about telling us, it's trying to tell us to be ready and be prepared when Jesus comes back, because if we're not ready and Jesus comes back, we're going to be left out. And if we're left out, it's not going to be my wife's fault. It's not going to be my mom and dad's fault. It's not going to be my kid's fault or my brother or sister or anybody else. It's going to be because I didn't make the right choices. I didn't make wise choices. The door was shut, and the five foolish were shut out. They weren't allowed into the wedding banquet. And once the door shut, there's no opening it up again. So before we make choices, we need to ask ourselves, what are the consequences of this choice? What are the possible outcomes of the choice that lays before me today? Will this choice help or hinder my relationship with Jesus Christ? Will this choice help or hurt someone else? Will it draw me closer to God or drive me further away from Him? Unwise choices lead to damaging results, and unless they're corrected, they can have eternal consequences. Our choices affect us and others in so many different ways. And when I stand before God, when I stand before God on Judgment Day and give an account of my life, and by the way, that's something we're all going to do if we believe the Bible. When I stand before God on the day of judgment, I so want to hear Him say, "You've chosen wisely." Because I don't want to hear Him say, "Depart, I never knew you." Say, "Man, Pastor, you're being pretty serious today." I am being serious today. I'm always serious when I preach, but this is one of those, you see why. This is not what I wanted to preach today. And yes, the people watching online are getting a little bit different version of this same message. But it's the same message. Because it's what God told me I had to say. So I pray, and I hope, that God's word, the circumstances and situations around us, will help us to take just a little bit more time and be just a little bit more careful in those areas where we need to be more careful about the choices that we make. Because once a choice is made and once we follow through with it, it's done. So let's do our very best to choose wisely and be people who can help others choose wisely by showing them the way to Jesus.